The trial began less than an hour later. I sat on a stone bench that was set over to one side of the stage floor, Molly at my side. We were to be witnesses. Mouse sat on the floor beside me. He was going to be a witness too, though I was the only one who knew it. The seats were all filled. That was why the council met at various locations out in the real world, rather than in Edinburgh all the time. There simply wasn't enough room. Wardens formed a perimeter all the way around the stage, at the doors, and in the aisles that came down between the rows of benches. Everyone present was wearing his or her formal robes, all flowing black, with stoles of silk and satin in one of the various colors and patterns of trim that denoted status among the council's members. Blue stoles for members, red for those with a century of service, a braided silver cord for acknowledged master alchemists, a gold-stitched caduceus for master healers, a copper chevron near the collar for those with a doctorate in a scholarly discipline. Some of the wizards had so many of them that they had stretched the fabric of the stole, an embroidered white seal of Solomon for master exorcists, and so on. I had a plain blue stole with no ornaments whatsoever, though I'd been toying with the idea of embroidering GED on it in red, white, and blue thread. Molly was the only one in the room wearing a brown robe. People were avoiding our gazes. The White Council loved its ceremonies. Anastasia Lucio appeared in the doorway in her full regalia, plus the gray cloak of the wardens. Her arm was still in a sling, but she carried the ceremonial staff of office of the captain of the wardens in one hand. She entered the room, and the murmuring buzz of the crowd fell silent. She slammed the end of the staff three times upon the floor, and the six members of the senior council entered in their dark robes and purple stoles, led by the Merlin. They proceeded to the center rear of the stage and stood solemnly. Peabody appeared, carrying a lap-sized writing desk, and sat down on the far end of the bench from Molly and me to begin taking notes, his pen scratching. I put my hand on Mouse's head and waited for the show to begin, because that's all this was, a show. Two more wardens appeared with a bound figure between them. Morgan was brought in and stood as all accused brought before the council did, with his hands bound in front of him and a black hood over his head. He wasn't in any shape to be walking, the idiot, but he was managing to limp heavily along without being physically supported by either warden. He must have been on a load of painkillers to manage it. The Merlin, speaking in Latin, said, "We have convened today in a matter of justice to try one Donald Morgan, who stands accused of the premeditated murder of senior council member Alaron Lafortier, conspiracy with the enemies of the White Council, and treason against the White Council. We will begin with a review of the evidence." They stacked things up against Morgan for a while, laying out all the damning evidence. They had a lot of it. Morgan standing there with the murder weapon in his hand over the still warm corpse. The bank account with slightly less than $6 million suddenly appearing in it. The fact that he had escaped detention and badly wounded three wardens in the process, and subsequently committing sedition by misleading other wizards, Molly and I were just barely mentioned by name, into helping him hide from the wardens. "Donald Morgan," the Merlin said, "have you anything to say in your defense?" That part was sort of unusual. The accused were very rarely given much of a chance to say anything. It clouded issues, so.
"I do not contest the charges," Morgan said firmly through his black hood. "I, and I alone, am responsible for Lafortier's death."
The Merlin looked like he just found out that someone had cooked up his own puppy in the sausage at breakfast that morning. He nodded once.
"If there is no other evidence, then the senior counsel will now pass."
I stood up. The Merlin broke off and blinked at me. The room fell into a dead silence except for the scratch of Peabody's pen. He paused to turn to a new page and pulled a second inkwell out of his pocket, placing it on the writing desk. Anastasia stared at me with her lips pressed together, her eyes questioning. What the hell was I doing? I winked at her. then walked out into the center of the stage and turned to face the senior counsel.
Warden Dresden, Ebenezer said, have you some new evidence to present for the senior counsel's consideration?
I do, I said.
Point of order, Ancient Mai injected smoothly. Warden Dresden was not present at the murder or when the accused escaped custody. He can offer no direct testimony as to the truth or falsehood of those events.
Another point of order, Listens to Wind said. Warden Dresden earns a living as a private investigator, and his propensity for ferreting out the truth in difficult circumstances is well established.
Mai looked daggers at Injun Joe.